Welcome, everyone. This is David Crable from Forager, and I'm here with Rich Gould, the founder of the CFOAA. That is the Cottage Food Operators Association of America, and that is the first and only national association specifically designed for the cottage food industry. Today, Rich is going to be sharing some of his efforts that he's been partaking in the past year to help promote the industry and tell us a little bit about why he thinks the cottage food industry is extremely important. Rich, I'm glad to have you on the call today.
And same here, David. Thanks for inviting me to do this podcast.
Great. Well, I've had the pleasure of getting to know you a bit over the past few months or so, but I think the rest of the listeners are going to need a little bit of an introduction. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you going into the cottage food industry?
Sure. I started looking at the cottage food industry when I retired. I spent a few months doing not much of anything and became bored. So I found out about cottage food by searching home-based businesses. Finding an announcement for the food safety course, I signed up and attended the program. It was great because my neighbor was a food broker and I was able to purchase spices and herbs directly from him until he changed careers. I chose spices and herb blends because they were something that I was very familiar with growing up and learning to cook in a Cajun household, and later meeting some of the best Cajun Creole chefs while in the hospitality industry in New Orleans.
So what got you so interested in the cottage food space in general? I mean, why do you feel like the cottage food space is more important than, say, just using a commercial kitchen like all the other food businesses?
Well, like starting every new business, there's always that factor of finances. I saw cottage food as a way to be able to produce spices in the quantity that I wanted to produce them in, since I did not really want to work a full-time 40-hour, 5-day-a-week job. And have learned that when you're in your own business, actually what you're doing is a 24/7 job. So I want to basically be able to set my own time frame and to limit the amount of time that I had to spend in actually producing the spices, selling them. And that kind of ran into building the association. No matter what you do, is either production or creating an association, it is certainly a 24/7 job when you're trying to do your own business.
So I know that you've gotten a chance over the past year or so to interact with quite a few cottage food operations. Have you seen those issues with other cottage food operations? And is there, say, an example or two that you could share aside from your own experience?
Sure. One of the advantages that I had is I found the local cottage food group here in Colorado, the Colorado Cottage Food Producers. It is a Facebook group page that's very active, and other people talking about what their issues are, what resources they need available to them. I have been able to meet a lot of people, both locally and nationally, that have shared their concerns and their challenges in creating a business for themselves. And the thing that I hear from each one of them most of all is having a place to where they can go and they can find information without having to spend hours and hours doing searches on the internet. I have met some people who have made this into a full-time business for themselves and building a brick oven that is wood and gas-fired for a local bread baker here. To me, that's one of the efforts that have gone out, an effort that they have made tremendously in investing in their business. I've also been able to talk with some national figures, people who have gone forward with cottage food and promoting it being more than just grains and cookies and spices and those non-potentially hazardous items. They're pursuing making home-cooked meals for their local communities. They're talking about eco-farming, all of which I believe is part of the cottage food industry. It starts, as our slogan says on our association website, is safe food from the ground up.
So when you talk about information and supporting these businesses, what I'm hearing is the other things, right? You know, not just how to make your food or how to figure out what the laws are, like what Forger would help you with, but all the other things. I don't know. Did you realize there was so much that can go into starting a business when you got your own started?
Absolutely not. I mean, cottage food law sounds very simple. You go and take a food safety course and you can then sell cottage foods in most states. Other states don't require any food safety course at all. You start looking at that and saying, okay, this is all I have to do. But as you become more and more involved in it, that certainly is just the very tip of the iceberg.
So what was the point in time? Was there a specific moment when you realized, I'm going to start an association for this industry? Like, this industry needs some help and I'm going to do it. I'm going to go ahead with it. Was there any story behind that decision?
You know, I was asking, you know, where do I find information and how do I get more information? When I was sitting in the food safety training course, there were many questions that I had about, you know, how do I figure out how much taxes to charge? How do I figure out how much my food product is to cost? Where can I go and sell this product? Those questions were, although very elementary at that point, they built into more and more questions that I had about the business. I was very lucky in being able to be in the hospitality industry and being able to have experience in food pricing and things along that line, but not everybody is there. Most people that I find that are going into cottage food are basically a 40-plus individual, mostly female. They may be retired or maybe a single-income family that did not have the benefit of that education and resources. They simply prepared a very good fudge or a very good jelly and wanted to be able to sell it. So what they've had to do is just simply start from the beginning. It's very frustrating. I know I've been frustrated myself with it, but hopefully the association will eliminate a lot of that frustration and be able to assist them in getting that information and being able to develop a business instead of just a hobby.
Yeah, that's something I've noticed as well, is the distinction between a hobby and a business, because it's definitely easy to be able to make something and sell it to your friends, but then to actually take that and turn it into a business is a whole nother thing. And you've identified some of the problems, but it also sounds like you have a vision for the solutions to those problems and you think that's very attainable. Can you tell us a little more about what you're trying to do or what you're trying to get the association to do to alleviate some of those problems?
What I have done with the association so far, David, and it being less than a year old, is I've gone in and looked for resources for information on how to build your business with things like pricing seminars. I have used a number of resources already available out there, such as Women in Agriculture, the Better Business Bureau, and have uploaded their webinars to the website. That is an initial effort. It is a beginning for the association. Eventually, what I would like to do is like to have specific education and webinars that are directly related to cottage food. I'm starting to see other associations become interested in what we're doing as far as food safety training. That's one of the issues that are big on my plate right now, is that food safety training is not really standard across the country, that each state basically has their own food safety, and it pertains primarily to food servers, not necessarily to cottage food operators, which have different issues. So that's a big push for me right now, is to be able to have something specifically training for across the states instead of having each state do their own training. And second of all, being able to introduce the cottage food operator to the laws of their state. Each state is different in what they enact, and that creates some issues and also creates some misunderstanding about what the law is, which causes a lot of fringe people to hook on to cottage food and to use it for products that they are developing but not necessarily following enactments on.
Yeah, I know that the CFOAA is a very new thing right now and is still in its early stages. And one thing I've been particularly impressed by with you is your willingness and ability to take a very long-term view. I think you realize that the cottage food industry is still a very nascent or new industry, and you realize that the CFOA or that association might not take off and be going full throttle for another 5 years. And that's okay, but it still seems like you feel like it's an important thing that someone needs to do it at some point, and that the cottage food industry is important. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You know, I didn't start the association for it to be a blockbuster, you know, the first year. I started it realizing that it's going to be basically like a child, in the fact that it needs pampering and it needs taking care of, it needs watching, you know, it needs nourishing in the beginning. But eventually what's going to happen is that child's going to grow into a toddler and eventually a young child and adolescent. So, you know, I'm very familiar with that process and having children myself. So, you know, I look at that as the association is the same way. It's the concept of it, beginning of the birth of it, is not necessarily where it's going to be in the future. It's certainly going to change, and hopefully it will change as the industry changes. Cottage food has gone way further than I ever thought it would, even at this short juncture. You know, here in Colorado, up under the Cottage Food Act, they are actually being able to process chicken on individual small farms and then be able to sell them. Whoever thought that chickens would be part of cottage food when it initially started? On the other hand, I think that a lot of the progress will be in not only educating the cottage food operators themselves, but also the legislators that are making these laws and the consumers, since they're going to be the ones who are going to be looking to buy the products. There's a lot of different organizations coming at it in a lot of different ways. I would like to see the association grow and be able to provide those resources and to have a common place for them all to come together and to discuss the different facets of cottage food.
Yeah, you were referring to something that's captivated me, and that's seeing a shift in the industry. And Colorado just passed this amendment that you referred to that widely expanded some of the definitions of cottage food. And we've seen that across the states. And it's definitely a dynamic industry. It's definitely an industry that's changing. I'd like to hear from you what you would like to see. What if you could just flick your wrist and say, this is what the cottage food industry is going to look like in, say, 3 years? What would that look like? What do you think would be an attainable and ideal place for us to be in a few years' time?
Do I only get one wish? Oh, 3 years. Boy, that's really a futuristic question. And what I've seen in the years is blowing me away. I can't imagine what would happen in 3 years. As far as the association goes, though, I would like to see it as a standard for safe food, for it to be a recognizable association among consumers, that they can trust the food that they're purchasing from the operator, and making sure that they can be assured that it's safe and that it's going to be an added value for them versus something that they would purchase in the grocery store. I think that cottage food offers the opportunity for us to get closer to the source of food again, and I think that's a good thing. I would like to see more product being allowed up under cottage food so that we do develop a community of suppliers and purchasers. That's probably one of the major wishes that I have, is being able to build that community supported operation to where people know where their food is coming from again.
So that touches on some of the reasons why you feel like the industry is an important one. I mean, we know that we have the commercial food industry. People can go get a commercial kitchen or rent a commercial kitchen. They can go through all the rigmarole of that. Is that community aspect the reason why you feel, or it's at least one reason why you feel the cottage food industry is important? Are there any other reasons why you feel like cottage food specifically is something that you really need to focus on?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the initial concept for developing cottage food laws across the state was to be able to boost the economy when we're going through the Great Recession. Having someone do something well is always a good place to go. And being able to make some money at that is also a good place to go. We're losing the middle class. We've been losing the middle class for a very long time. So I think anything that will bolster that middle class economics and be able to allow people to make money at something that they enjoy doing is always a good thing.
So I know that as you've been working with the industry fairly closely for the past few months and been interacting with cottage food operations, I don't know if you had any stories or anything that jumped out at you saying, hey, that's something that matters. Is there anything like that that can come to your mind off the top of your head right now?
Well, there's a number of them. The ingenuity of individuals to be able to do something that they enjoy probably is the best thing. I have been able to hear some great success stories about cottage food operators. One that really comes to mind is a lady in Texas, I believe, who started making brownies. She was able to sell them at a local prison that she was working at. And what has developed out of that is that she's now serving the entire state's prison system with these brownies as far as a treat for the inmates. And she is talking now about going into a commercial operation in which they're going to be assisting her through baking these within a prison kitchen to allow for sale nationwide. She started out with the dream of simply wanting to be able to produce the brownies that she created that she hoped people would like, and has built it into a full-time business. It's just a repeat of what's happened in the past. She's been allowed to pursue her dream on a local basis, and that dream has been very godmothered, I guess you could say, into a commercial business that she will eventually be able to support her family from a nationwide production.
Wow. And you think that without the ability to start from home, you know, and it seems like there's a lot of good happening there, and that just wouldn't have happened if there wasn't some framework for her to start. And maybe she would have never done it if Texas didn't have a cottage food law.
Oh, I would agree. She was able to start in a scale that she was comfortable with, I think, number one. And she was able to grow her product as opportunities became available to her. You know, we were talking about some of the advantages and disadvantages of cottage food. And one that I do want to bring up here as we go through that discussion is being able to move from a home kitchen into a commercial. A lot of people are not going to be able to do that with a lot of cottage food laws that we have on the books now. I think the reason being is because there's a step missing to where most people can only sell directly to the consumer. I think that there is a additional step that needs to be taken there to where they're able to sell a lot of these non-potentially hazardous products to a third party, such as a specialty gift shop or things along that line, to where they are able to move from not only selling it there personally, but to be able to consign it to other people to sell their product. The regulation involving that is really not much different than what we have in cottage food right now, except that it's just not allowed by the states. And I can understand why they want to safeguard their industries and also to protect the public. But I think that as we go along, that it's something that will and should be enacted as part of the act.
So I know you've been asking cottage food operations questions for quite some time now. Are there some questions that stand out to you? Or is there like a question or two that if you could ask every cottage food operation that question that you would want to know the answer to, what would those be? And specifically, what would you like to know that will help you move the association forward?
I would certainly like to be able to ask what is important to them as a cottage food operator and what resources have they had difficulty in obtaining. I think those would be my two primary questions. The third one is, what would you see the association being able to provide to you? I think that my board of advisors would be interested in that, and certainly I would be, in finding out what is important to the individual cottage food operator. I certainly have my concerns, but those concerns may not translate to the industry as a whole.
So if people want to reach out to you and contact you, how would they do that?
Oh, certainly. They can go to our website, the Cottage Food Operators Association of America. The website address is www.cf, as in Frank, O as in Oscar, A as in Apple, A as in Apple, .org. They can are certainly invited to look around the website. There is a section there for members only. We do that in order to provide the association members, those that are paying for their membership, additional resources and information. But I think that there's a lot of information that is free on the website. And if they would like to get in touch with me to ask me individual questions or to make a comment, they're certainly welcome to on the Contact Me tab on the website.
Well, great. And I just wanted to make sure as we wrap this up, is there anything else that you'd like to cover, anything that we didn't touch on?
I think that the closing remarks that I'd like to make is that the association is there for its members. It is certainly member driven. It is very important for the association to be able to hear each member's concern and to be able to respond to that as a national organization. That's the only way that we're able to grow and to be viable. I don't want the association to be perfect. I want it to be a good resource for individuals and one that they would go to as a first opportunity to find information. Again, I invite people to review our association web pages. As we go and develop the association, we'll certainly be developing that website also, and invite everyone to at least take a look and see what we're doing.
Well, great. And I am so glad that you have started an association for the cottage food industry. I think you're a pioneer in getting this going. And thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me today and share a little bit about the association with everyone.
Thank you, David. I tell you, it's a great opportunity to be able to do this and to have an association with you and your group, Forager. Certainly, everyone that I talk to recognizes your name and the Forager name as the industry standard for state laws and for regulations in cottage food. And with that, I want to thank you as well for your efforts and for continuing to be involved in the cottage food industry. Your efforts have certainly been able to build on what is happening with other areas in cottage food, and you've been a great resource for me in what I'm doing.
Well, thank you for that, Rich. That's very nice of you. Well, with that, we'll close it up. Today we've heard from Rich Gould, the founder of the Cottage Food Operators Association of America, which is the first national association for the cottage food industry. Today, Rich shared a little bit about his vision for the cottage food industry, where he thinks it's going to go, and what he'd like to do with the association to promote it, and why he feels like the industry is important. If you'd like to connect with Rich and the CFOAA, you can head over to his website, cfoaa.org, and check out some of the resources he has there. And if you want to get updates, you can go over to the Contact Us page. Again, this is David Crable from Forager, and thanks for listening.